Now, Israel says it will resume a ceasefire in Gaza after it launched a series of airstrikes on Sunday. Its military said it was responding to what it called a blatant violation of the ceasefire agreement by Hamas in southern Gaza, which killed two Israeli soldiers. Hamas, though, say it's unaware of any clashes in the area under Israeli control. Hospital sources say that 44 Palestinians were killed over the weekend. Well, as well as a ceasefire and prisoner exchange, the first part of the agreement also dealt with aid getting into Gaza, parts of which are experiencing famine. Nabal Farsak is spokesperson for the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, and she joins us from Gaza now. Nabal, where exactly are you? Where are your people working?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I am based in Ramallah in the West Bank, and our teams are working across all of the Gaza Strip. We have almost 1,400 staff and volunteers who are working on the ground in various areas of the Gaza Strip.
And how much aid is coming in across the borders?
So unfortunately, despite the ceasefire agreement, the flow of humanitarian aid remains far below what is needed. The agreement stated that 600 trucks should be allowed into Gaza daily, but this is not happening. Taking into consideration that before the war, around 500 trucks entered Gaza daily just to meet normal needs. So today, after 2 years of massive destruction, we actually need double that number, not less. People need tents, shelter materials, food, clean water, fuel. What is entering now is a fraction of what is required to improve the humanitarian situation. And also, I would like to emphasize that under international humanitarian law, Israel as an occupying power has a clear responsibility to ensure that civilians' basic needs are met. Humanitarian aid must never be used as a weapon of war, and access to food, water, and healthcare, it's not a privilege. It is a basic human right. So civilians should never ever have to wait for a ceasefire to receive aid. Assistance must be allowed in all times and under all circumstances.
What condition are the people in, Nabal?
Well, the situation in Gaza remains catastrophic. The war has destroyed nearly every aspect of life: homes, infrastructure, hospitals, water and sanitation system. After 2 years of war, Gaza has become almost unlivable. The threat of famine is still there. Thousands of children and women are suffering from severe malnutrition and dehydration. People are struggling to find food, clean water, shelter, and medical care. It's just a daily fight for survival.
The crossing at Rafah is still closed. That's between Rafah and Egypt. How big a difference would that make if that was reopened?
Rafah border, yes, is still closed, and it is very important to open Rafah border to allow the entry of humanitarian aid. We are calling for immediate, safe and unrestricted humanitarian access to all parts of Gaza. We need sustained entry of aid, not temporary or conditional access. We also call for the protection of civilians and the humanitarian workers, and for the urgent evacuation of thousands of patients and wounded people who need life-saving treatment outside of Gaza. And those, they can go out of Gaza through Rafah border. And as I said, thousands of patients and wounded cancer patients are still need to be evacuated to receive this life-saving treatment. And this is why it is important to open Rafah crossing, not only to allow the entry of more humanitarian aid, but also to allow the evacuation of patients and wounded.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning and bringing us up to date on the aid situation in Gaza. Nabal Farsak, spokesperson for the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, live from Ramallah. It's 8:32 and Sharon's here with the news update.